Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
That was from something.
ESPN. That's SportsCenter.
Yeah.
You are so. I gotta make a man out of you, boy. I'm going.
You know who's person who's closest to making a man out of me. Ina Garten.
Ina Gardner.
Ina Garten.
Who is that? That sounds like a girl.
She's this broad from Food Network, right? Her whole life is all she does is pleasure her husband Jeffrey. She goes, if you watch the show,
you're talking about the Barefoot Contessa.
Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, of course I know her.
I've been following her recipes. I made a roasted eggplant parm to die for.
Uh-huh.
My wife stopped hitting me for a second, which is really very nice because I'm being chased all around the house.
Maybe hands were a little sore or something.
The non-voluntary Spanx.
Uh-huh. Yeah, do not talk about your weird pig is in the oven sex. I don't want to know. When you scream, there's a pig in the oven. And
yep,
then
she knows.
Comes out like she's the mom
right
from Children
the
Under the Stairs.
Right to the bedroom. Oh, yeah, she knows. No, but honestly, we have been making love a lot. It's nice.
Great. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben with apparently the recently laid...
Woo!
I don't want to think about the disgusting...
Yeah!
You're already... Whenever you get excited or mildly hot, you turn pink. So I can't even imagine the California ham that you turn into after you have sex with your wife. But we're not talking about that.
You should see the spirals... That just the creases and spirals in my body that form like a sweet, sweet, succulent Virginia ham.
One could say she should be arrested.
I heard. All right. So I got some information.
Okay.
So the reason why I saw that bike, the guy in a bike telling me acid.
Yes.
Was I guess there's a thing called Bicycle Day, April 19th. It's
okay.
Like, I guess it stems from San Francisco.
Is it supposed to?
The invention of acid. The idea of like the guy that really start acid. The guy who like. Proliferated acid and gave it to all the different bands in the San Francisco 1966. He used to drive around on a bike.
It's interesting. I was just watching a medical documentary about the person who figured out blood flow. And you imagine living in a time where people just didn't realize that your
killer?
Blood flows.
And yeah. What did he do? Did he just like stab a bunch of women? And she's like,
it's amazing to see the crimson tears.
Well,
why are there so many? Why do they stop screaming?
There is no greater goth than a 1400s air quotes doctor who is just constantly in cemeteries trying to figure out the inner workings of the human body. But what I'm saying is, it's interesting to think about how someone had to teach us that. It was a creation in some ways. And when it comes to acid, I never imagined a world without it. So this scientist, it must have been a strange day at the office when he put his finger in his little petri dish, put it up to his tongue, and it's just like, Eureka! I see the rainbow.
I don't know a single thing about the whole story.
Okay.
So, but I'm not going to speak on it, but maybe I'll start researching it to find out what is the origins of acid and how we can thank the person that brought us sweet, sweet acid because I'm one of those. I'm starting to think we need to dose, right? Entire country, listen.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm on board.
This is it's a hard time for a lot of people, right? People are really freaked out. But what if we give them a reason to be freaked out? Where if they start, if their nightmares come alive, meet your right. nightmares in a way, you know, in a twisted psychedelic fantasy.
Yes.
See, you still live once the acid goes through your system. Everybody's systematically, it's like we're creating herd bravery.
Right. So what you have just described is literally the villainous plot from Scarecrow.
Yeah.
In Christian Bale's Batman, the first Batman. So you just want to make everyone hallucinate horrible visions of demons, and then that will help. What again?
I'd be a cute version of Jigsaw. if Scarecrow was wrong about the rollout of his plan.
Oh, that was the problem.
I don't think that he was wrong necessarily about being curious about the human mind.
You know what?
And the capabilities of the human mind.
I actually completely agree with you on that front. I watched TMNT recently. I'm never going to stop talking about it, at least for the next month, because I love that
you've
movie
just,
so
yeah,
much.
You've been brought it up several times.
But all Scarecrow did was organize his own version of the Foot Clan. I'm just sick of these villains biting off a Shredder. Shredder figured it out so perfectly that no one has been able to match him in quantity of theft. They try and they try, but let's be honest, if it wasn't for those damn turtles and that petty, dirty rat, Shredder would be president of the world right now.
Your pro-Shredder stance is what's going to hurt our show. It's going to hurt the show. But also, I would go as far as to say Shredder was not the OG dude. Genghis Khan was the OG supervillain.
You're going with Genghis. You're showing respect for Genghis Khan?
I am not showing respect. I'm showing fealty.
All right.
Genghis Khan. If you listen to Hardcore History, that's the way he makes sure you know that that's how it's pronounced.
Yes, I understand. All right. Well, we have a few fun stories to get to. Yes.
I got a bunch of things. Wild responses on whether or not a woman can tell the difference between her vagina smell and others. We yes. have several women. I'm talking about a dozen women who yeah. said that because of their lesbian experiences and the things that they have experienced in their times,
uh-huh.
yes, in fact, you can smell a different woman's snail trail on another man.
Do not.
If you want to. If you're looking for it. Obviously, you got to be looking for
okay,
it because you
got
to get real close to the dick and the balls.
It is the odor of a woman's romance sponge.
I love it.
Yes. Do not be disgusting.
I love the juice. the juicier, the better. But, I've seen these documentaries.
But of course, that's where all the pheromones are.
That's where the pheromones are. Marks a man.
You know, people always think about communication with the eyes, the ears, the mouth. But really, the almighty nose, as we learn from Dirty Work, as we learn from Chris Farley in Dirty Work, the nose is often the most powerful tool that there is.
They say in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. But in the land of the skunks, the man with half a nose is king.
There it is. All right. So thank you all so much for informing us that if you are out there cheating on your wife right now, number one, that ain't right. Number two, you best go and take yourself a bleach bath because she can't tell.
Let me smell your dick.
Woo!
Listen to that song again, too. It's really interesting. Just the idea of lifting up the head of a man's penis like it's a fresh loaf of bread. Like your bell on their way to the library. Just like, nice smell of strontio. There's a strontio on your binga. Well, this is obviously not the main news of the day.
No.
Seems like the main news of the day that... I imagine, unfortunately, the day that will not live in infamy,
mm-hmm.
the day where the Pentagon has officially released three videos showing UFOs. Now,
yes.
this is according to BuzzFeed News. We have a couple of these. Now, these videos, which had been leaked and seen before, I don't like using BuzzFeed News, but this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
But they have decided to come forth and declassify these videos that were actually leaked in December, I believe, of 2017.
Okay. So, Henry, we were talking about this a little bit before we recorded. We were discussing, is this the biggest deal on Earth? I was like, did you hear about the new UFO stuff? And as you just mentioned, this is a bit of old news, kind of repackaged. What are
but
people...
But why
what
the should, repackaging?
What do you think people are supposed to glean from this? Or what do you think the government wants us to glean from this? Why are they throwing this out there right now?
Well, according to their official statement, what they are saying is that they wanted to clear the air and say and officially state that these are indeed videos from the U.S. Navy because they are trying to get rid of the stigma on Navy pilots from reporting UFOs.
Okay.
Right? They're trying to make it a nicer, friendlier place to report UFOs, the U.S. Navy. And a part of this is showing, hey, what the government's trying to say is, look how transparent we're being.
Right.
Yes, these were already released. Yes, we already dealt with the blowback for them being released. Yes, we've already tried to discredit them. Yes, we've already told you that Luis Elizondo did not work for ATIP and all of his connections to the TTSA are based on total lies. Yes, this is also came from Tom DeLonge, which makes the entire ufology world so upset. So upset that,
you know,
these
what,
videos
though,
were sprung
that they
originally.
Get, the more upset they get with Mr. DeLonge, the more that I like him. I understand he's taking a lot of money away from them, but at the same time, were they going to get that money? I highly doubt it. They didn't get it for the past 50 years.
They're a little mad because he's eating up the bandwidth. He's eating up the media bandwidth. One thing about the TTSA is they're working on two separate programs, which we have not seen hide nor hair from, right?
Okay.
The one is this material science research, which they call the ATOM Research Project. The ATOM stands for Acquisition and Data Analysis of Materials. And it's the idea is they started this partnership with this company called Earth Tech International that is run by Harold Puthoff. And Harold Puthoff is now a senior head. It's a terrible name.
Puthoff.
It's terrible. Puthoff.
Yeah.
Put it off your lap. Put it on my ass.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of the strip club. Get out of the Lucky Devil Lounge.
I work for the government.
Probably
do. Dr. Puthoff.
Okay.
He actually worked for the NSA. He worked for Stanford University. He's kind of has a long list of various spook connections. And he also was a level 8 Scientologist for a long time. So
holy
he believed
hell.
That he had fucking, he was fully clear. He was one of those. And now
how high
he is under the umbrella of TTSA.
How high is level 8? My understanding is that's when you start to, isn't that when you see Xenu or you're forced to get anally probed or something like that? Isn't
if
level 8
see,
about the top of the top?
It was, and the bridge keeps getting extended.
Ah.
For some reason, it's constantly under construction. But OT-8, I think, is when you can see a pair of breasts without vomiting.
Oh, my goodness.
That gets to the point where you're not gay enough that you can even hear a woman mention her vagina without striking her.
Wow. So the...
But, all right. These videos were packaged by the TTSA. They came out in December 2017. It's three videos which we have now seen quite a bit of. One was called the, you have the Tic Tac video, which we featured on our live show, lastpodcastlive.com. If you want to watch it this year during my UFO segment, we show you footage that was a part of the release of December 2017.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks to everyone who put the images on Instagram and had all the nice words on Twitter, lastpodcastlive.com. You can get our special from last year. We filmed it in NOLA, and it was a hell of a time. So hopefully that can help kill 2 hours of your life.
They put out the videos. It's called FLIR, F-L-I-R,
okay.
Go Fast, as in one word, and then Gimbal, G-I-M-B-A-L. These are the videos they put out.
Okay.
And so these have been leaked. But since then, they've done everything in their power to discredit them, to discredit Luis Elizondo. And there's a lot of holes there.
And a lot
of opportunities to discredit them.
And when you say they, you're talking about the U.S. Navy specifically, right?
Everybody.
Okay.
I'm talking about ufology. I'm talking about various branches of the government all trying to say, number one, these videos aren't real. Number two, even if they were real, they should have been out. We shouldn't be watching them. It's irresponsible. And three, like, what is this shit even show?
So it's only because they don't like Tom DeLonge, though, that they had this. Don't you think these organizations would have been happy if Fat Boy Blurbot would have released them on 4chan or something?
No, they were never happy that these were out, because what it does is confuses whatever messaging they're trying to say, or they've been trying to say since the 1940s about UFOs, which is, we don't research them, we did, and it's done, and we don't care anymore about them, and none of us do, we never cared, and we still don't care, and I'll never care again, and then you find out that X comes back.
Oh.
Those UFOs are just there waiting, twinkling and waiting for them, but since those videos came out, that was kind of the spearhead of the TTSA movement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of like, look, we got our hands on all this kind of shit. We're going to start these research programs. We're going to take all of these metamaterials, a chunk of what was called Arts Parts, which is a series of weird, like, chunks of metal and rock that Art Bell had accumulated over his years of hosting Coast to Coast AM. So they got a hold of a bunch of this stuff. Also some stuff from Robert Bigelow.
Okay.
And they were supposed to start testing it. They were also supposed to start building an app, a big kind of aggregate sighting app that was either called Scout or I think here now they wanted to call it Vault.
Okay.
Right? So they were supposed to do all these things. They haven't done none of them. So I think the reason why people were mad to begin with was because these videos came out. It started off this whole kind of discussion of we are going to start taking this seriously. Tom DeLonge then started hiring a bunch of people that had a bunch of weird ass, like basically paying people to show up to be a part of the TTSA.
Well, I mean,
they
to
had
be
a lot
fair,
of dubious that is, connections.
That is just employing people.
But that's my thing, is that what people are mad is that it just shows that if you got to pay people to show up and do all of this research, and
yeah,
Tom DeLonge happens to be very liquid.
Yes, they're not doing it for fun. They're not going out there. I mean, maybe some of these people are, but I actually think, again, this is why, Ben Kissel, you can mark my words right now, I am over on Team DeLonge. He's paying people at the very least. These other folks are just like, they should do it for the passion. It's like you're making them pay for gas as you drive out to the middle of nowhere.
No,
God knows
like
they're eating all the Pringles.
No, yeah, the ufologists sound like UCB, where they're like, everyone should just perform for smiles.
Be thankful.
Like, yeah, and just be thankful for the opportunity. Where this is, but I get it. I see why it muddies their waters for them. Because now
right.
They've got their TV show, Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation. Mm-hmm. They have like it's got a lot of cool photo it's got a lot of cool footage in it, but you know, a lot of it's kind of yakety schmackety. A lot of it kind of makes them look all dumb, and you're kind of seeing how the TTSA was never truly that serious about the research arm. It seems that they're really, really interested on moving ufologists to television. And the problem is that there are people on the outside of that sphere that are not being included that are getting very emotionally hurt.
Oh my.
By the lack of inclusion.
Well, it's almost like you got to do it yourself. You can't trust anyone in this business because much like when I was in jail for 24 hours, in mid-conversation, Ben Kissel, goodbye. You don't say anyone.
Bye.
You just head towards the door as fast as possible. So this
love
is
we made a memory, but I got to get out of here before you start looking at my, am I asshole like it's an oasis.
There was a man crying on his phone for 25 hours. Get the lawyer, Dad. What are we paying our lawyer for? I was like, you are making, we are in jail, buddy. You are really doing it. You're making our entire people look bad. But this is according to a Defense Department spokeswoman, Sue Gao. This is what she had to say regarding the release of these documents. After a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena.
So the Pentagon has reached their hands open to the guts of the drama of the ufology world, right? By basically saying like, okay, you got us, boom.
Right.
Declassified, we don't know what they are, congrats. We are now officially saying it, but it's kind of perfunctory at this point. It is just them saying a thing. They are coming out and claiming a thing because it was beginning to look more and more ridiculous of them with them saying that these are not our videos and that they were doctored.
Right.
It is a first in the fact that it is the government coming out and saying, finally, truly on the record, this is shit that we cannot explain. But if you notice, they've got funny little terms, right? They call it unidentified aerial phenomena,
right?
So they're moving away from the vehicle stance. They're moving away from anything about it being a ship or occupants. They're saying like, sure, yeah. They essentially got you legally where they can say like, yeah, if someone finally shows being like, that's clouds or like, that's a bird with the head on.
Right.
Like, if they say that and they find out for certain, it's just a bird with the fucking fat suit and hat.
Well, we
on,
know what happened to the pigeons in Las Vegas. Many a pigeon died wearing those cowboy hats.
Absolutely. You just add that to the COVID deaths list,
as far as
I'm concerned. So at any point, if they are proven to not be vehicles, then you see, but we just called it an unidentified phenomena.
Well,
we didn't know what the hell it was. It could be plasma. It could be ball lightning. It could be all the other things that could be fucking swamp gas.
Oh.
If they figure out a way to pin it on it at some point.
I think I got a case of ball lightning right now. Better go to the doctor. My question to you, Henry, you believe that much of UFO experience is psychic. So isn't the phenomena term allowing that to be an interpretation of what these people are seeing?
The problem is there are a lot of people that don't buy the phenomena concept. That was a big thing. As I was looking into the TTSA a little bit on my own, you really see how much of a stigma in the UFO world there really is against this idea of UFOs as a co-pro between these psychic projections of us and other intelligences, right? They don't like it. Jacques Vallée, though, now Jacques Vallée's on a fire because Jacques Vallée's falling under the umbrella of TTSA as well, because there's a lot of people that hate the concept of that they are not nuts and bolts crafts
right.
from another world. Like literally a physical thing that leaves a space station and comes to this planet. They don't like it because they can't replicate it in a lab and they can't prove it.
To those people, I say, is pizza food? Yes. Is Jell-O food? Yes. Now, can't these things coexist? Absolutely.
So,
my other question, it's not so much about any of the this is just more of an emotional question. Is the UFO community just annoyed that the government is even talking about it? Because doesn't that kind of take away a bit of the fun?
I'm with you on that. I honestly think there's a lot to it. Because then the story is kind of over, right? They finally like, great, congrats.
Right.
It's identified. It's unidentified. There you go. What are you going to do? Because now you have a bunch of people saying like, see? And then all of this happens during a time period where people are the least concerned with UFO storylines. They do not care. We have a superflu. It's easily buried underneath the constant ramblings of the administration, and everyone's just general malaise and fear right now. So who gives a shit that they finally said, yeah, there are UFOs, which is the first time. But I also, the reason why TTSA gets shit is called Harold Puthoff. He's been calling for many years, he's been calling UFOs space poltergeists.
Huh.
Where cool. He believes that it's the same phenomena as a poltergeist. Like, it's all the same shit. But what we're seeing is like, this is their example. The U.S. Navy has come out and filmed a bunch of these weird little blips. We know that they have some sort of physical hook. We know that they got picked up by their weapons tracking technology. They have mass. They are traveling. They are there. But then they disappear. Right. Then they immediately go away, which is a very difficult thing for the U.S. Navy because they don't know why. I also think it's interesting that all of this happened. These videos were all taken during training sessions. So what you're seeing is these things.
Interesting.
Which is what I was talking about during Rendlesham Forest episodes. My belief is that it's some kind of phenomena, either intelligent or not, that is mimicking us, that is watching our planes and operating like planes.
All right, well, I can see the audience member putting their gun up to their temple right now, about to pull the trigger, so we better move on from
you. This is important shit. This is important shit because, we can't get a UFO in a net, right? We can't get a UFO in a net, but for some reason, we can get a UFO knot to take us up into space and drain our fucking balls against our will. What's the story with that?
What is the story?
What's
more
the story with that, Kissel? But I'm just heated.
I know, buddy.
Gives a shit, man. I got to deal with this shit all the time.
All right.
I got people hitting me up all day.
Oh, my goodness. Henry, we got to get your back, Henry. Woo!
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You pet your dog. But you're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love what BarkBox brings. Because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT. My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
All right, so we will keep you up to date on any new information going on in the UFO world. But I got to switch to a story here that's a little bit more of Earth.
I have been shut down. this is about the government, isn't it?
I just I'm trying to think of the baseball player that cheated, and now I can't even do that. I can't even think of the team. Sports has been
Pete
gone
Rose.
For too long. Arturo.
What?
There's a baseball team that cheated. The Houston Astros cheated. He got a little buzzer. I think it's Arturo is his name, but I think I'm wrong about that as well. Anyway, what I'm saying is I'm getting a buzz by the government to tell you that we have to move on.
Can I ask a true question?
Sure.
Why is there even anything considered cheating in sports?
Because you have to have an even playing field. Otherwise, it's not fair.
But if you're smarter than the other person and you cheat and you win, doesn't that just another good win? That should count as a win.
Technically, it makes you dumber because you have to cheat to win.
Why is that? It's actually the opposite. I thought I'm working smarter, not harder.
Well, that's why you would be good in the military, but not good in... or maybe you could play for the New England Patriots. But
I'd be great. It's a military concept. At New England. What would I be in the New England fucking Patriots?
I think
what
you'd you would just be the ball. They would snap your little butt.
Hey guys, how about we do a little bit of the deflate thing first? Huh? I've been sitting in my ass for the last fucking 6 weeks.
Squeeze him. Send him to the squeezing room. It's just the corpse of you and Aaron Hernandez. All right, so let's move on here. This is coming in from ABC6. This is a local news story, so you know it's going to be good. Runaway pig leads police in Connecticut on a 45-minute chase. Insert all the puns you want about the pigs chasing a pig. God. And also the fact that this pig, it took these cops 45 minutes to catch this pig. So this was
It's hard, man. It's hard to get a pig. Was it all greased up?
I think it was just a pig. This was in Stamford, Connecticut. The police struggled to take to get this pig. The runaway pig led officers on a wild chase. It took 45 minutes. They even had the pig surrounded at one point, but the pig managed to slip through and get away. Stamford police posted a video of the pig chase on social media. This is what the police had to say. Again, I hate cute cops because they're not cute. They'll shoot you. This piggy, this is according to their tweet, this piggy, officers were dispatched on a report of a loose pig in North Stamford. Attempts to catch the pig led to, quote, the video, no officers or pigs were injured. So they were able to take in the piggy, which I think is good, without harm, although you know for a fact that those cops are currently, they got toothpicks in their teeth, pulling out the bacon that they just ate.
Yes, exactly.
That is this, of course, this hero pig. So
we
got
to say, upon further investigation, when we got Senior Pig back to the police station, we did discover it was, in fact, Chris Christie of New Jersey.
That's fun. That's a funny little joke.
I can always go for Chris Christie jokes. Rereading the last book on the left, and thank you all so much for the great feedback on that, and thanks for buying it. I made about 8 Chris Christie jokes.
You
and
did.
It definitely dates the book a little bit, but also we can always make fun of that fat fuck because he was a horror governor who belongs in very, very big chains.
It just comes from a time period, and we celebrate a time period.
That's right. So eventually, the officers, how do you think they got the pig, Henry? What do you think? What are pigs like?
They like apples. They like ice cream.
No.
They like mud.
They like
shit.
Trash. I think you are describing in a roundabout way trash. So
sure.
The cops put out a garbage trap, and the little piggy was like,
that looks like a fun little piece of trash.
Yeah, I want to get in there.
And then they trapped it, and they didn't kill it publicly. But again, I'm sure that this pig is now bacon. So there you go. That's a bit more of a lighthearted story in these crazy times, and I think we need to know. I would have liked the story
more.
It
turned out that pig was a rampant carrier of COVID-19. All those police, they took back to their family, and thus, once again, Senior Pig has become patient number one.
Oh, poor piggy. But either way, Stamford police, not a bad day at the office, although you know one of the officers that caught the pig is currently on a hell of a whiskey bender because it ain't easy being a cop on the streets during a pandemic.
There's a lot of paperwork, yeah, but sometimes the things I see, man. Just watching him kick his hooves against those anklets is one of the saddest sights I've ever did. I just wish them pigs. He was strong and young enough to get a job.
I think so.
I wish that he could have done it.
I think so. All right. Well, I have one other story that's a little bit more bloody, but let's hear from Mr. Zabrowski's tale.
I have a couple of things. One was the Nova Scotia police actually just put out a timeline of the did a little more research into the timeline that of the horrible mass shooting, the worst mass shooting in the history of Nova Scotia.
It is, yep.
When I do notice that they very often refer to the guy as the gunman, and so I'm going to do the same thing as so that we don't have to proliferate his name too often.
Yep.
But there's some fucked up shit that is coming out. We're going to learn more and more, but he knew a lot of his victims.
Okay.
Because he showed up to their homes, people let him in, and then he shot the whole families and set the houses on fire. But one of the ones that was really fucked up to me was that he was in the squad car, his fake squad car, but he had a radio.
Uh-huh.
So he was picking up police calls for him. So someone was calling for backup from the last shooting spree that he did, and he showed up to the cop. And the RCMP cop car rolls in, and he thinks it's his, like, the guy, his backup.
Get out of here.
And he comes out being like, hey, what's up? Like, this is, again, the story last week. Guy dressed up as a Mountie with a Mountie car, drove around, he killed 22 people in Nova Scotia.
Yes.
This other Mountie sees him get out of the car. He doesn't realize it. Guy just opens fire and shot the other cop. And the other cop would run away thinking it was his buddy.
Wow.
Really fucked up.
So this guy had balls of steel in the pussiest of senses, but the fact that he would go to the scene, he must have known that this whole thing was going to conclude with his own demise.
He wanted it.
Yeah.
I think that he wanted it. I mean, again, we don't know anything about the shooter or why he did it. They simply have just taken down his very crazy denture sign from his denture office. Have you ever seen it? It's like a big pink smile with big teeth on the side of it.
Psychotic.
They took it all down. Honestly, it's kind of fun. Until then, he kills a bunch of people, and then it becomes very menacing.
I don't trust a dentist. Grimace. I don't trust a dentist. They're far too comfortable inside of people's mouths. They have the power of not just, you know, remember, do you remember when sexual assault was just a plot in a sitcom? When Jerry yes. Seinfeld went to his dentist, and his zipper very was always often. Down, and I think the dentist was jerking him off, and it was more of a lol, raffle kind of situation.
No, we're taking things more seriously in upcoming generations, yes. But yeah, it used to be really funny just imagining the idea. That used to be a common laugh of a dentist putting you out and then sticking his dick in your mouth
yeah.
while you were asleep. But now we know that that's rape. And you got to be really careful with doing that as a dentist.
This absolutely.
Is a reach out to our dentist. Yeah, you got a guy sleeping there. And yeah, maybe he was kind of rude to you a little bit, or he didn't like his jokes, because a lot of people don't like a funny dentist. And
nope.
But you have been... since offended by it because he wasn't laughing at your jokes while you had a fucking hook in his mouth, and now he's asleep and you look at his big open mouth and you're all big and engorged because all you could think about is sticking your fucking cock in there.
Sure.
But I'm going to say to you, hey, let's just think about how you'd feel
mm-hmm.
if someone
you know
put
what?
A penis in your mouth while you were sleeping.
You know what I would recommend, and I don't know if this is possible, but if I was a federal judge or even a local judge and I find out that someone gets hard because their patients are unconscious, I would attach one of those fish. You know the fish, take me to the river. You know that fish, the talking head fish that turns
Billy Bass.
Billy Bass. Every time that person would get aroused, and I don't know how I would orchestrate this, but I would have a small trigger on his erection that would then trigger Billy Bass to sing Take Me to the River, and I would have it turn and look right at the dentist, guaranteed boner eraser.
I wonder, I hope it's not, because, but also, or you start transferring your boner to the Billy Bass, which is fine,
that's
actually.
Fine. Yeah, that's actually fine. Fine. It's going to mess but with the song, but.
Stop. Putting your penis like made spaghetti into another man's mouth and taking a picture of it, dentist. Stop doing it.
I for agree. A second. I agree.
I have another more simple story.
Okay.
This comes from The Sun, everybody's favorite paper in the UK. We know guys how much we know how much you respect it, and we know how much you love it. Oh, actually, this is an old story, but I just want to say the headline.
Okay.
The ghost of a masturbating ape haunts the hallways of a grand country estate in Dorset.
Well, it can't be old. If it's a ghost, it's timeless.
That's what I'm saying. Titillated tourists can often hear the saucy specter laughing while masturbating in Anthelhampton Hall in Dorset, near Dorchester. Dorchester? Dorchester.
Nailed it.
But apparently, the lovable ape's afterlife antics have helped the hall to be named as one of the most haunted houses in England, after being listed on We Buy Any Home's list of the 9 most ghostly properties. I just want to say this. The estate's motto is, "He who looks at Martin's ape will look at him." The 15th century house was originally built by the Martin family, whose crest featured an excited monkey sitting on a tree stump. And ever since, the horny ghost of Martin's monkey has haunted
little do
the
you
spot.
Know, that's not a tree stump. It's a full tree.
That is a tree.
But he
one
is.
Tourist,
that is inside of that monkey.
He is. It is. He is. It is up to his clavicle inside of him. He said, we heard that Martin the monkey, who haunts the house, loves to scratch his privates while swinging around. We didn't see him, which is a shame, because it would have been a real sight. Apparently, he's not terrifying. Quite friendly is what we heard. Yeah, because he's masturbating.
Sure.
But according to local legend, the unconventional Martin family did have a pet ape, which was free to wander the halls. And when one of the Martin's daughters had an unhappy love affair and decided to kill herself, the compassionate monkey began following her around. When she climbed the head of hidden stairs to a secret room, the ape trailed behind and watched as she took her own life with the door bolted.
What?
By the time the family searched the house and grounds eventually located the room, the ape had starved to death next to her body.
I mean, I
don't know if we came all over it. I'm not certain if that was a part of the ghost story.
I don't know if it started masturbating when it was an alive ape or was just so bored in the afterlife. Why didn't the monkey just eat the corpse?
I don't know. I honestly think that it would have. I think that there a lot of this is being cleaned up for radio.
Because you know, I believe you can imagine it was feeling just a small puff of air, though, like when you go into the doctor and they try to see if you have whatever that eye problem is. When you go to the eye doctor, try to see if you got the cloudy eye.
Glaucoma?
Like, yeah, they're just like, poof. Like I can just feel that on my face and be like, masturbating ape, do
God
not come on my face again.
This isn't one of your bukkake videos. I'm a man. I'm a man and I will ask to be come on. And that's how I will receive it.
Come on! Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is three times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust-dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God, I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LastPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LastPod.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
All right, well, let's move on to a much more disgusting, serious story here. It does involve death. As we've talked about before, this time period is driving a lot of people insane. Perhaps they would have killed their spouses anyway. Maybe they wouldn't have. I would err on the latter. This is coming in from New York. A man accused of Man accused of killing wife was allegedly dismembering her when police came to check on her. Now, I am a massive advocate for innocent until proven guilty. I sure. will say this. If you are found dismembering your wife, think we can get rid of the word accused or allegedly. We can just jump a few steps and say the man who murdered his wife.
And the guy, if he sees you, you know, you murdered in the middle of dismembering your wife, and then he gives you a Snickers, you know what I mean? Because then you're like, you might get gun, you were hangry. Also, that is very difficult, because you can't be like, I found her like this.
No, you can't be, although I think
Yes, I did indeed. Yes, her name is Deborah Potato Head of the Potato Head family, and some of her parts do come off, but the arms are not supposed to, sir.
No, and she is not a potato head. She is a person. I do think the hangry would, defense would work in Dallas. There are big folk in Dallas. We love Dallas. There are bigger people, and I do think if you do not feed them regularly, then they have the right to kill you.
Yeah, this is definitely, there's a lot of big people in Dallas.
And I love them for it. So New York State troopers, they went to check on this home. It's in the Buffalo area. Families hadn't heard from her in days, the victim in days. So they're like, you better go check on her. It was Friday at 12:30 p.m. Troopers were sent to the home in Allen to check on the welfare of the resident. Police did not identify the resident in the release, but her family has identified her on a GoFundMe page and in news interviews as Amber Farron. That is the name of the woman. Troopers spoke to Philip Farron, he's 52 years old, who said his wife had, quote, left the area. When troopers questioned him again, he then made admissions. He said, this is according to the troopers, further investigation reveals that Farron had shot and killed the victim earlier in the week and was in the process of dismembering the victim's body when troopers arrived on the scene. And
but
then
the real star here, yeah,
they show the real a picture star of this man, and Henry
is the mugshot.
It is.
It is the least amount of face on a head I've ever seen. He looks like a Lego character made real.
Yes, and
I don't know how you do this. I don't know how a person looks like this. I've never seen. He looks like an emoji.
Yes,
that dismembers its wife.
Yes, he looks like someone who just. He's a chili guy. He's a chili burger guy.
He's a chili burger guy. Yeah, you can see this like, right here. It's a big old alcoholic's nose.
Yeah.
Big, cool mustache.
You know who he is? He's the guy who goes when they find out there's finally a hibachi restaurant in Buffalo. He's the first one in the door. And he's
just... Yeah, when I go with a big old low-cut shirt, and then that chef does that funny thing when he throws a shrimp between my breasts.
Yeah.
I like a hibachi. It's a show and it's dinner. I like going out. I like it when he makes like a little volcano with the onions.
I would love to see you with a little shrimp between your titties. What I am saying is, yes, he would love the onion volcano almost to a fault.
And his ears are lower than they should be.
Everything is wrong. Everything
his
is
ears
wrong.
Are like back where my glands are on my neck. His eyes are really close together. I've just never seen a person where it's like, if I hit him in the face with the board, I wouldn't even give him a black eye. The closest thing I could give him was a black jowl.
And this is according, so right now he has been arraigned via Skype. He was arrested on second-degree murder and first-degree manslaughter charges. He does not have a lawyer yet. I'm assuming at some point he will, if we still have a constitution in this country. But as police continue to investigate Amber's family is feeling obviously devastated by the death. This is according to her aunt, Bonnie Minot. She said she was a sweet girl, a big heart, would do anything for anybody, and for her life to be ended like this, I'm assuming she would go on to say it's tragic. Her sister, Ashley Ryan, told the outlet she would give the shirt off her back to anyone, and then this happened. I just can't believe it. So very, very sad, and thankfully the cops were able to get there, but this is one of those difficult situations where you never know what's the right time to call authorities when you haven't talked to someone 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. There was probably no way that they could have saved this poor victim because, of course, it was a domestic situation.
Well, especially also during this time period.
Right.
Where everybody is kind of, it's hard because people are getting around. But, you know, again, we're all supposed to be home. So if you're like, hey, police, I live with my wife. Where is my wife? That has got to be very scary. At this time period, I'd be like, yeah, where is your wife? She's supposed to be home.
Absolutely.
A lot of times they just run away because that's the first thing I say is like, you know, they're always fucking running away, man.
Yeah. All right. It is time for Hero of the Week. I'm going to take a bit of Henry's responsibility here and actually read an email from a listener whose name I will say, from Pace. I will say their name is Pace. It's a short little email, but this is a hero that is a concept. The concept is giving.
Giving.
The email reads, "Hi guys, I was in a group of five people and a masked man cycled up to us and gave us each a bottle of Bud with a quarter ounce of dynamite weed taped to the shoulder of the bottle and a 10-pound note taped to the neck. He asked nothing, did nothing, and cycled off. We met a few folk later on who had the same good fortune of running into this cat. P.S. We were all homeless." So there you go. The Phantom Weed and Bud Light giver, or Budweiser giver. You are the hero of the week, but it really is more about the concept than anything. Give to people. Give them a little Bud Light. You know, when you give people who are on the streets asking for cash money, I say, if you got a bunch of weed on you, skip the middle, man. Just give them the weed.
Give them the weed, because in the end they want the weed, and the weed actually keeps them doing the PCP, I think.
I think that's absolutely true. And then this week's runner-up, I do have a runner-up for Hero of the Week, but it's from April 5th. So this is a group of Czech nudists. They were scolded by police officers for violating the obligation to wear protective face masks. No problem with being entirely nude.
So funny, dude.
Clothes or no clothes.
They just found out that COVID-19 doesn't, you can't get it from cum.
No kidding.
Yeah. A bunch of doctors, I guess, took a bunch of loads, and then they that's how they know. I'm not certain. I don't know.
Yeah, well, then my belly button is totally safe. the message is, so this is according to the cops, the message is very clear. They're like, it doesn't matter what you're wearing in public, but you got to wear face masks. So I'm going to say, good job. They put the face masks on, but they're still out there being nude in the beach. And honestly, I am kind of a never nude, but I'm growing out of it. I think that if you can't handle me at my fat, then you don't deserve me at my mildly thin.
Yeah, buddy. That's what I'm saying, man. My whole thing is that my body is a weapon for me to use against society. So if I show people my body, you have to accept it. Because now you get in trouble if you shame me for it.
That's
so
right.
So now you got to deal with it. You got to look at it. When we're at the beach, you're at the beach here with me. Yeah, I got a beautiful wife. Yeah, you could look at her, but you're not going to be looking at her. That's what's funny. Is that even though she's got a hot body, what's nice is that my body actually attracts more eyeballs. So my wife actually feels more comfortable being out with me nude because people are unfortunately looking at the orangutan.
Right.
That somehow scrolled on a pair of little, because you know I wear the tinier swimsuits.
You're very European, I know. Yes.
Yeah. That's my thing.
It's the difference.
I protect Natalie.
That's one way to say what you're doing. It's like it's the difference between looking at a beautiful Corvette driving down the highway and then looking at a car crash. Folks always look at the car crash.
They always do it. You look at the Corvette for a second, you're like, oh, that's a sweet ass Corvette. But if a car drives by on fire with a bunch of pigs with guns in it, you're like, well, that's interesting.
Now that's a story.
You gotta start following that.
I agree.
But yeah, I'm so happy, Kissel. Be nude. Not now.
Not now. No.
The other day, though, you did take me to the bathroom to pee when we were talking on the phone, and you took me to the bathroom to piss into a sink.
No, not to. I peed in the toilet.
Oh, I thought you were peeing in the sink.
Why would I?
But then you wouldn't let me off the phone until I showed you that I was shitting.
Why would I pee in the sink in my own house?
Because you're a man with a very little. I'm going to say rules. I'm going to say you're deregulated right now. Without when you don't have any, you don't have any. There's no oversight.
Well, I could go for a few more environmental protections because, my lord, between Puffin and I.
All right, here we go. All right, so I got some emails, and I wanted to, you know, it's because they're fun. I love hearing from you guys. SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Always email us. Reactions to stories, more info, your funny little stories. And this one comes to, because we talked a little about eating pet peeves. And we said we weren't going to name next week. We said last week we were never going to name the person that was the most disgusting eater we'd ever been around. We can't eat anymore.
Holden McNeely.
Holden McNeely. Everyone correctly guessed it. So you already knew. Again, but I'm going to declassify. Last podcast network is going to declassify the information from last week of who is the most disgusting eater in the LPN family. And we're going to go ahead and say, we're going to clear the air and let you know that it was, in fact, Holden McNeely.
Wow.
And you cannot duplicate how he eats in a lab.
No lies. No lies here.
No. But this story shows that, honestly, for some people, they just can't help but eat messy.
Okay.
I'm here in defense of messy eaters everywhere. Although that condiment thing that Henry described sounds fucking gross. It is. Anyways, I'm a messy eater. I moved around as a kid and it always became like a joke that I was a weird eater everywhere I went. It's fine. I'm fine. However, my weird habits are a result of a significantly open bite that makes eating downright challenging at times. I can bite into an entire piece of pizza and not actually make contact with anything because my teeth only actually touch in two places in the very back.
What?
When I try to eat a sandwich, I just get a bite of bread and then all of the insides fall onto the plate. I require like 600 napkins if I eat a burger or basically anything that you bite into. I had years of orthodontic work done, and the open bite always comes back because I push my tongue against my teeth when I sleep. Anyways, I figure I can't be the only orthodontically challenged messy eater out there, so shout out, motherfuckers!
Okay, so I am... Okay, so we have a
incapable
situation where...
Incapable of eating normal.
How... Oh, I'm very confused. How doesn't... It's still... Isn't there a way to... How does he survive? How did the genealogy survive? How did the genetics survive if this person cannot eat in the easiest time to consume food in human history?
You can still fold it in your mouth. You can get the food in there. You have to be more careful and considerate of your eating. And also, it's just, you are eating. It's just messier than normal.
Can I just say this as a remedy? Bigger food. Just bigger eat bigger food.
I honestly like this move.
Okay.
I like this idea. Get more food in there if the food is physically larger.
Yes.
You can get more in there.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think that's what we've been practicing since day one. So let's, all right, this is a story. This is a coronavirus story.
All right.
This coronavirus is making people fucking nutty out here. There's a lot of people changing societal rules for no fucking reason. Because sometimes it's like, yeah, man, I know we're in quarantine, but some shit doesn't have to break down.
You can still wave hello to your neighbor.
You could wave hello to your neighbor. You don't have to recoil from them. And also, just stick to what you do normally, especially if you're an independent business person, just like this person talks about in this email. I'm a 26-year-old female from Richmond, Virginia. And like other stoners, I've been heavily partaking during this trying time.
Good.
I've been fucking getting fucking high. I've been getting stoned a lot. I've been smoking a lot of weed. I got that auto grinder from back in the day. I've been growing,
right.
Like just rolling my own joints, just fucking blowing through them. It's been great.
Are you even attempting to pretend like you have increased your weed intake as opposed to you are just continuing the process?
It's exactly the same, technically. It's just a natural ramp up. Now, I've been seeing my current weed man for around 6 months, and I know this type of shit. You know, Kissel, you got your guy. I remember my guy back in the day. You got to hang out with the guy.
Ugh.
He's going to talk about fucking soccer. He's going to play a Mario Kart. You're trying to figure out when he's going to leave.
I stopped getting the weed delivery service many years ago because I gave the guy 60. The bill, I think it was 50, and my understanding...
And you should be tipping them, Kissel.
No, because this was a time I spoke to the leading editor, the head editor at High Times.
Oh, I remember that. I remember we talked about this. Yeah.
Yes, and he said they deliver a 2.58. So technically, you do not have to tip because they're giving you about $30 worth of weed. The tip is baked in, but then the guy tried to shake me down for the 10, and I said, keep it. But at that point, that $10 was quite important to me. But anyway, I just stopped doing that.
But we talked about the same thing with the Yorkshire Ripper. Are we really looking for change? We got these guys got change.
I don't know.
Do sex workers have change?
Nope, no one has change.
Over these months, he has been slow. All right, so I've been current weed man, right? So over these months, he has been slowly escalating his manner of undress.
What?
He had mentioned once that he did some form of martial arts. So eventually, when I went to buy an eighth and when I was met with him wearing a neon blue Speedo, I just figured he was a weird college guy and brush it off. So last night, I arrived at his house to pick up.
Uh-huh.
He came out wearing a robe and insisted we smoke a blunt. Very common, right? This is just what happens.
Yes.
He ties you into his being his friend. He's essentially making you addicted.
I hate it.
He lives in a middle-class suburban neighborhood, so he opts to smoke in his car. So
what?
I'm trying to get out of there as soon as possible. Sure. Yes. I mean, I've been there. You remember how many times we used to have to hide in Florida?
Yeah, but why would you smoke in the car where if you are busted smoking, you're not just getting busted for smoking weed. You're busted for smoking weed within a vehicle, and then you could get a DUI or something like that.
You're going to hear
what? Whatever. Okay. Whatever.
You're about to hear why.
Whatever a DUI weed version is.
No, you're going to find out that I don't think it wasn't just to hide from police.
Okay.
Not from the smoking. So I'm not trying to get out of there as soon as possible. I'm trying to get out of there as soon as possible. And he's down for me that my weed is free, so I'm trying to be slick about it. It's dark and he's rolling the blunt in his lap, so he asks if I could shine a light. In the foreground, blunt in the midst of being rolled. In the background, I see an open robe and a bare exposed penis. I pretend not to notice and begin pulling up pictures of various strains of weed and talking about which ones I wanted to grow. It's just fine. Everything's fine. It was at this point that he said, excuse me, I'm just gonna whips off the robe, get more comfortable. Whew, that's better.
Well, that's not even comfortable. Being nude in a car is quite uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Your fucking balls and your taint and your asshole stick to the seat. I mentioned how we need to get going, and we exit the vehicle, and it's from this point that this man stands naked on his driveway at 3:30 a.m., just dick out smoking a blunt for a moment until I say my goodbyes and leave the promptly, and I block his number. And it's just very interesting, because he said it so many times. It's like, because she said, she's like, I'm 5'1", but he's about an inch shorter than me, and this curtain in my driveway of, and curtain driveway of his parents' home. So this is one of those old school, like suburbs weed dealer where he is just living at home.
Damn, sad.
I have mentioned my boyfriend many times over the months and have never in any way made him think I was interested. Yeah, it's not about you.
No, and you had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's fully sexual. I mean, it does sound like it's vaguely sexual, but yeah, man, I don't think that he was deterred.
No,
by
boyfriend. I think he was looking at Pornhub, not realizing those folks are paid actors, and indeed, he is not a porn star.
No, and there's a lot of people. So she ends this with, why are people so horny? Is there ever such a thing as free weed? Was I just sexually harassed? Yes, but there's never such a thing as free weed.
No,
there's never such a thing as free blunt. There's always a tacit, there is some form of arrangement, whether you know it or not, you just need to be real upfront for it. But because if you're getting for weed for free, you will be paying something.
This is why,
I guess.
Once again, legalize it.
Legalize
it. No one should
it.
Have to buy weed in the strain in somebody's car as they unrobe like a much less wealthy Harvey Weinstein. And when Harvey Weinstein did it,
you got an Oscar.
Still in prison.
You also got an Oscar when he did it. This, you're getting an eighth of stems and seeds.
Neither are worth it.
This is a disgusting story.
Oh, okay.
So years ago when I was on OkCupid, it was the early days and you could still meet hookups, right?
I remember OkCupid. OkCupid for pedophiles.
Yes. I met a girl we'll call Sarah. We met up once and she talked to me about her hobbies. She bred these big Flemish rabbits and was honestly a little too into them. But I got past that and we ended up banging on a fairly sanitary park bathroom. Good work. This is great. I love this so far. Any port in a storm, he says. We both had a good time, but other than sexual attraction, we didn't have much in common, so we didn't follow up. But a month or so later, I get a call. She's pregnant.
Damn.
Oh, shit. I can't believe you fucking barebacked in a sanitary, a quote-unquote fairly sanitary park bathroom.
Yeah, it really isn't about the bathroom being fairly sanitary. You gotta wrap up the old ding-dong there.
You gotta wrap her up.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, shit. So she didn't want an abortion, and I respected that. So I prepared myself for unexpected fatherhood.
Oh,
wow.
That's very nice. Very mature.
That's very nice. Very mature. Fast forward a few weeks and she texts me. She had a miscarriage. Now, I had mixed feelings, as one often does in this situation. But what she told me next horrified me. She shared with me that when it happened, she expelled what was pretty recognizably a fetus. She went on to say that she didn't know what to do with it, so she just fed it to one of her rabbits.
Oh, my God.
I was like, the fuck
stop
did you
this
say?
Story. I'm going to throw up.
Eventually,
what are
she
you
said,
talking
siblings,
about?
This is her reason. Everything she said, siblings often absorb the other twins, so in her mind, it was poetic. Her rabbit child was getting nourishment from her human child's remains.
Oh, my God. No.
But they never spoke again, apparently. Apparently,
yeah,
he cut it
I
off.
I understand. And dare I say, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. Maybe this woman wasn't best fit to be a mother during this time period of her life. I think that is absolutely disgusting. It's like when in the movie Hannibal, when the guy feeds the people to the pigs, you can't be feeding any biological waste to your damn animals because they're going to go crazy. And now you know what these freaking rabbits want?
Flesh.
I can't imagine. Like, be honest, when I first read the email, I was thinking it was going to go more towards the angle of the rabbits start eating her pussy, And I actually was pleasantly surprised by the right turn that angle took.
It's all about expectations, I think.
Isn't that weird how, like, that was the good one? You know what I mean? I also wanted to read a little bit of this story, a couple chunks of the story.
Okay.
This is one of those really scary, like, haunted house stories that I really enjoy, but I just wanted to read a couple chunks of it because I thought it was interesting and I just love it. You know what I mean? And the only person who died is, so this person lived in a house in Superior, Wisconsin.
Oh, of course. I know Superior.
It was originally an old farm home that was brought to town on a truck and set in a new lot when the town was first established. So that's just straight up old school.
Okay. Right?
The only person we knew dying in the house was my grandpa, who died of a brain tumor before I was born. There's just some weird, they said the whole family just saw a bunch of fucked up shit in the house. Here's a couple of examples. I was in the shower when I was about 13. This bathroom was attached to a room where my grandpa lived and then died when he was very sick with his brain tumor. The bathroom always gave me creeps, no matter what time of day. This day, it was mid-morning. I was home alone, as I often was. My parents own a restaurant and spend most of their time there. I was rinsing my hair and I began to get a sick feeling. It is the undeniable feeling that someone is watching you.
Oh.
You are in danger. I couldn't take another moment and I turned off the water and I peeked out of the shower curtain. No one was there. I get out of the shower, turn off the radio I had on. And as I was drying off from outside the door, I heard a man's voice say, "Jessica."
Oh my God.
Luckily, there were two doors to this bathroom and I ran out the other side. I called up my mom immediately. She insisted no one was home and probably just hearing things. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom. This is the thing that creeped me out. My bedroom had a closet door in the corner of the room that was painted red. Under the red paint, you could see the outline of the face. Eyes with big drooping eyelids, a big nose, and big lips underneath. I asked my mom about the face, and she said her sister stayed in that room, painted the face on it years ago, and even after coats and coats of paint, the outline of the face still seeps through.
Cool.
This door also did not have a handle. The handle fell off years ago, and to open it, which I rarely did because it scared the shit out of me, I had to use a screwdriver. The only things I kept in there were extra blankets. I avoided going near it at all costs. When I would have sleepovers, my friends would say that they felt like someone was watching them from that corner of the room. The room would get so cold, we could see our breath. So one night, suddenly from inside the closet came a boom, boom, boom knock so hard it shook the walls. Then the door creaked open slowly, only a couple of inches, just enough that if someone was inside the closet could peek at me sitting on my bed.
Oh my God.
The sickest feeling went through me. I told my friend on the phone what had happened and she told me to run. My parents didn't believe me. This is another fucked up story. This is a weird ass fucking nightmare. One night, she was having a terrible nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up and I was surprised to realize that I was already sitting up in the corner of my bed, facing the same corner of that room.
Whoa.
I shook off the sleep and realized my mom was standing in that corner. This did not look like an apparition. It was not see-through or foggy. It was my mother, or so it seemed. She was wearing her everyday clothes, which I found odd as it was in the middle of the night. Why wasn't she in pajamas?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She had a wide smile on her face, and her head was slightly cocked to the side like the fucking strangers.
Whoa!
I stared at her, and she smiled right back at me. And finally, I said, "Mom, what is it?" She didn't move. She didn't answer. She stared. My heart suddenly set in a pound, and I realized that's not my mother. Suddenly, she fucking vanished.
Whoa!
I scream, bloody murder. My real mom came running up the stairs thinking I was dying. I told her what I saw between sobs, and she said she was just scared shitless. No little girl would be making shit up like this.
Damn.
I still tell her about this story to this day, and it gives her chills. Right? Why was it portraying herself as her?
Whoa.
So there's a lot of other little stories here, but this is one of those where it's like, oh.
Very cool. Thank you for that. I'm going to say that's spooky spaghetti territory right there.
That's very, very, very
well,
scary.
Thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you all so much again for buying the book. You can get the last book on the left. Go to IndieBound. Support your local indie stores. And our live show is out, lastpodcastlive.com. We had such a great time last year traveling the world, perfecting our craft. And I think you'll enjoy the humor.
I think that it's a better special than the last one we put out. Check it out, lastpodcastlive.com. It's fun to do. There ain't, you know, if you're looking to be entertained, that's the one thing that we could provide.
Absolutely.
Also, go to lastpodcastmerch.com. Yep. We have all new merch, new sizes, new stuff. We're going to keep upping it. We've already run out of some stuff, which is amazing. And again, 6.66% of it is going to the charity One Fair Wage, where we're still doing that. We're going to be doing throughout this whole fucking time.
And of course, we'll be refilling the merch that has sold out. So keep on checking regularly to see if the shirt also, that you want or the whatever you want is back in stock.
Hit us up if there's a type of merch you want to see. We have Amy over at Not Bad Luck who does incredible pins.
Yes.
And our goal is to get some from her for the Last Podcast merch page. If there is anything else you guys are into, you guys want more patches, hats, let us know. Because it's the type of stuff being like, we want y'all to get gigged up with the shit that y'all like because you are like us. We're merch people.
We're merch people. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
Oh, and here's a little bit of a thing for me. Check out Trollville on YouTube. We put it up in the last podcast on the left YouTube page. Check it out. It's a love letter to the world of trolls.
Henry? Do they need a love letter?
They need a reach out. And I would say one eye-opening documentary was sent my way by a listener. Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much for your letter. Fucking keep on keeping on, bro. Check out TFW No GF, based off the meme That Feel When No Girlfriend. It is an examination of angry young dudes and what they're going through. And Trollville's kind of a pairing to that, knowing that even you, whatever reactions they get out of you on the internet, they are still a lot of times just lost fucking dudes.
Yeah, but they're also a bunch of assholes.
Yes. And what we did with Trollville is do a very... And we did a solid roasting of them and an examination from the inside out.
And of course, if you're wondering, Henry plays the beautiful hero. No. Henry plays the troll.
I am the troll. Yes. A young Tobey Maguire, which is really fun. I love that. But guys, Liv. Liv. L-I-V-E.
Woo!
That's the sound that we'll make when we can all go outside again.
Yay!
Love. Find new interesting ways to make love. There's so many ways.
There's
Zoom. You can jerk off on Zoom.
Yeah, but is that
you
making
can jerk
love?
Off on Instagram Live. You can jerk off in front of all your followers.
I don't think that's a good idea.
And then laugh with them.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Never forget. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. Indeed. Oh, also, if you haven't been watching, you gotta watch The Last Dance, the documentary about the Bulls. It'll motivate you. And it's really cool.
What?
It's called The Last Dance. It's about the Chicago Bulls, Henry.
I thought you said it was about like ballroom dancing.
No, it's about
like,
the
what
Bulls.
Are you
it's
watching?
Not. No, it's not The Last Waltz. Or no, it's called
Last
The
Waltz. Is the band, man?
It's a great documentary.
I can't wait to watch it. MJ,
Kobe.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truth Finder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truth Finder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.